Oh, man. Well, I'm sure lucky that I'm out in the air. Just think that if I didn't know, you know, if, who knows? If, if I was in the air, I might say... And you mean I was on the air? Oh, wow. Oh, my God, we're in trouble now. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, I don't know. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. I read to you a very official letter which I received. It says, Shepard, it had to happen. It actually did. An official English course in my high school, a credit course, is called Gene Shepard's America. And he sent me the school electoral list and the, you know, the list of subjects that are taught in English. And there it is. By God. And where is this high school? Well, it's in Lake Mohegan, New York. And I presume it's Peekskill High School. No, it's Lakeland High School. Lakeland High School in Shrub Oak, New York. And the course is taught in period 10. I don't know what time of day that is. But to give you an idea what times, how their times work, period 8 is 12:31 to 1:12 in the afternoon. So it must be sometime in the afternoon. Period 10 is taught in room 138 by a Mr. McKenna. It's Gene Shepard's America, and it's in fourth quarter English courses at Lakeland High School in Shrub Oak, New York. And the kid goes on, he says, Shepard, he said, I volunteered to write and ask you officially if you would be able to give the Blue Book examination at the end of the year. Oh, I don't know. You know, that's, I'm very embarrassed. I'm just, can you imagine some kid flunking Gene Shepard's America? Yes, I can imagine it. Me, yeah. I would love to come there, you know, incognito, saying I get myself this high school suit and everything, and I grow a giant beard. If you grow enough beard and hair, you can pass in any class. I get myself a giant, you know, big wig type thing, saying I got an enormous beard, and I come in as an exchange student, you know, or a transfer student, see, from Pitcairn, Pennsylvania, and I enroll in Gene Shepard's America. I'd love to monitor that class, see. You get up and you know, make snide remarks. Oh, that's all. Ah, what a bunch of bunk that is. Rah, rah. You know, and sit back down again. And then at the end, of course, flunk my own course. Because I could not identify who Uncle Carl is. Whether it was Uncle Carl or Uncle Tom that was the bootlegger. And what is the significance of Uncle Carl's false teeth? And what does this bear upon the total? Oh, man, you know. And I knew it had to come. So would you... just hold that in vain, sir. Hold that ad there. I a lot of things are in the wind now. I just see that there's changes coming along everywhere we go that Shepard has taught. And by the way, you know what another course they have in that school? This is an unbelievably hip school. Very interesting school. Another course. These are all fourth quarter English courses. Another course is in, Mad Magazine. Mad Magazine as literature. It's taught the eighth period. It's in room 131 and taught by a Mr. Scott. Mad Magazine. They also have an entire section, one whole class devoted to John Steinbeck. Very interesting. Steinbeck, 223, his room is. He's taught in the 11th period by a person named Powers. So I'm right there, you know. Right there with the official guys, my God, I'll tell you. But things are changing. You know, when they study Mad Magazine officially in school, I think this is a step. I don't know whether it's a step forward or forward. I don't know. But there it is. It's a step. And certainly it can involve you. But, you know, things are changing in a lot of curious ways. For example, today, I've been in training. Would you please give me a little echo chamber? Oh! How do you like that sound? Now, that's not a casual sound. You know what that's the sound of? You want me to do it again? Show you I can do it again. It's not a fluke. Is a memorable sound, isn't it? Now that is of competition quality too. Now what competition is it for? Do you know one of the fastest growing sports in America is the sport of hollering? I mean serious competition hollering. And it's called hollering. It's not called yelling or shouting. It's called hollering. And for those of you who had a chance to read about it, in fact, it's getting so official that recently Sports Illustrated did a whole story on hollering as a growing, tremendous sport. And the reason you look confused about it, Ed, is probably you didn't live in a state where they did any of it. No, it's not hog calling. Don't confuse it with hog calling. Hog calling is hog calling. Hollering is hollering. Now, they both involve the voice. Well, let's face it, the Metropolitan Opera involves the voice. And so does a comic involve the voice. They're not the same business. Hog calling is for calling hogs. And have you ever heard a good hog caller go? Well, a hog caller is especially good. Shoo-ee, 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 shoo-ee. That's hog calling, right? See, that's a specific sound that seems to draw hogs. But what I'm doing now is official competition hollering, and you probably will never hear this in New York City, but it's being done by great competitors all over the country. I will show you the sound. Again, you'll notice it has several notes and will hit several frequencies and grows in intensity. And it's all a matter of timing and beat. And it's a matter of endurance and training your lung power. Listen to this now. Now that's a holler. Now the standard criterion of a holler is how far you can hear it. And a great hollerer can be heard for amazing distances. Do you know that there are legendary hollerers in Africa, Central Africa, that they claim, now this is a claim, it's one of those possibly apocryphal, although it's conceivably true, that they claim that some hollerers can be heard for over 20 miles. That's the human voice. That's right. And it's not a matter of just simply being loud. That isn't the real answer to it. It's to be able to control specific frequencies and use the terrain. So if you're in an area where a certain frequency will resonate in a certain way and travel over the ground or the water in a certain way, you'll become a great hollerer. and they can hear you over 20 miles. And it's actually used for communications. Great hollering. And at Spivey's Corner, it was fantastic. It says, this hollering is a cross between an Indian war cry and sweet country singing, sustained in a long, full-volume blast akin to a yodel. Now, did you notice that's very much the way I did it there? Because I'm patterning it. Well, I'm not inventing it. I'm patterning the yell that you heard, the holler, on great hollerers that I have personally actually heard. Now, do you want to hear it again, or do you want me to wait a little bit and lay it on you later? It's a nerve-wracking sound. All right, I'll show you how it's done. Okay, you've got to sustain the note, and as he pointed out in his copy, it's a kind of a cross between a yodel and the sound of country singing. They're both in there, and you know, of course, that the yodel, you know what the yodeling is, you know what Swiss yodeling is. Well, yodeling was originally a form of communication. so that one guy on one mountain could communicate with another guy on another mountain, and they found that the voice could carry better when it was modulated that way. Instead of a single note, the voice carries better when it's modulated in specific ways, in other words, changed in specific ways, and that's what caused the yodel, which is a yodel sound. And I will give you the sound now of a classic flat country yodeler. And sometimes this yodel is also used in mountains, but it has tremendous carrying power. It's effective, isn't it? And I'll tell you, when you lay that back, it can be heard for miles, literally miles, and people will know you're there, man. And that's a classical holler. It says, it's a revival of an old Eastern Carolina custom prevailing long before telephone poles marched down every sandy tidewater and clay Piedmont lane. Those were the days way back of mules and wagons instead of tractors and automobiles. The land was silent. Imagine us. It's hard to believe that at one time our land was a silent land. The land was silent, absolutely silent, except for the natural sounds of wind and birds, and almost lonesome. The loudest noise was the sound of the human voice. Isolated on his 40 acres, a mile or two removed from the nearest neighbor, a farmer, after returning from his fields and milking his cows at dusk, would let out a distinctive holler. He had his own holler to let his neighbors know that all was well and he'd finished another day. It's the way people kept in touch with each other. Answering hollers would come back across the creek bottoms and across the tobacco fields. The farmer would enter his cabin, trim his kerosene lamp, and read a chapter of maybe Deuteronomy before bedtime with his world secure around him. He had contacted all his neighbors. If the farmer should happen to be late coming home from his weekly trip to town, he had a special holler to let his wife know that it was time to put the supper on the cook stove. Should sickness strike and the wagon be broken, there was another kind of holler that signaled the emergency. A dreadful sound it was, too, said Erman Godwin Jr., the gentle-mannered, platinum-haired banker who has, in a way, in a manner of speaking, brought back the holler. Godwin and a Dunn, North Carolina radio man named John Thomas have a weekly program called Let's Talk. One day, Godwin chanced to mention the custom of hollering. Thomas jokingly suggested a contest. Inspirations like that come on you all in a minute, Thomas says. Usually you forget them in a minute, too. But from then on, the contest idea spread like whooping cough. It is apparent now that for years, the athletes of the epiglottis, the Olympians of the larynx, had been ignored unsoundly. A nation nobody had thought gave a hoot about holler and remedied an oversight that cried aloud for correction. 4,000 to 5,000 people showed up for the first contest in 1969 and stood in 100-degree heat for hours. The winner, overalled, red-burnt Dewey Jackson. And by the way, he got on TV and received a call from President Nixon after his great holler. By the second year, people were coming from distant states. Old-time hollering was reported from points as widespread as Alabama, Massachusetts, and Michigan. The Voice of America, which broadcast the event overseas, received 400 letters from foreign countries. As a result, an international division had to be added this year. Recorded entries from India, Burma, Austria, Ecuador, Czechoslovakia, Nigeria, and by the way, it was a Nigerian who was acclaimed the winner. He demonstrated to call women together for gossip, for shopping, to summon youngsters to sweep the village square or fetch water, to announce a death or to warn a thief, warn that there was a thief loose. And national interest was booming. Indiana, of course, I used to hear it in Indiana. Indiana held an elimination to select a Hoosier hollerer and flew the winner to Spivey's Corners. Martha Mitchell had her secretary check hotel accommodations in Dunn before finally declining. All sorts of hollers were rediscovered. Riverboatmen on the Mississippi have a particular set. Possum hunters used one kind to signal their dogs, and fox hunters needed another kind. Farm wives summoned the clan for dinner, and they had a special call. Moonshiners still do use them, by the way, and this is where I've heard them most recently. I actually heard them. You know, I used to live in Kentucky a few years back. And you go down to the Kentucky Hills in certain areas down there, and you can hear them, and they have a whole vocabulary. In other words, you'll be driving along, and if you're there quietly long enough, you'll hear this curious sound up in the hills. It's just a strange sound. All of a sudden, you hear something go like this. You know, what the hell is that? What kind of a bird is that? Well, that is a specific sound, which means bring more sugar up. We're running low on sugar up here. This is a moonshiner. Now, that's all it means. We need more sugar. Or you may hear a sound that goes like this. That means somebody just drove up the gravel road. I don't know who he is, so look out. Now, they have their own private codes, but I'm just creating a code here. But that's the way it works. And you actually hear this. You hear this sound off of this. You wonder what the hell that is. And then occasionally you'll hear somebody, they'll call a name, you see. They'll use a name, but they'll call it like this. The name will not be called in an ordinary way. So if somebody wants to call a guy, and the guy may be 2 miles away, and you don't have any walkie-talkies, no telephones or anything like that, and the guy's way up in the mountains there, and he's cooking away at the still, and he wants his friend to come for some reason or other, you'll hear him holler like this. He's just called Luke. And it just floats out. That means that there's a call for Luke out now. And occasionally you'll even hear him repeat it. Now, that's a side of America that very few people know about. You know, the people live in this area. And the great hollerers are really, really fantastic. I mean, they are incredible stories about them. Now, do you want to hear more out about it? All right. For some reason, there's a background on it. You know, the rebel yell, the biggest part of hollering, the Chief Goodwin says, he's sort of the big deal, was the pleasure of it. It's fun to make a big noise on a still summer morning, you know, just to see how far it would carry. It's also great to holler to relieve tension. And I would suggest you try this yourself, friend. You'd be surprised how much a good 2 or 3 minute long holler lets out. You just stand on the beach one time and yell. Just yell. I mean, you'd be amazed at what a great feeling it is, you know, because most people don't ever really use their voice. You know, your voice is constantly just a thing that you use very partially. And many people have never even opened their voice up totally, even as kids. It's like a lot of people have never run as fast as they can actually run as a human being. It's a great feeling once in a while. But the voice is something that hardly anyone thinks about using as an instrument, say. And so if you stand on the shore of the ocean and you just aim it out over the water and just yell, but don't just open your mouth and yell, put some form to it. You know, put some form to it. The rebel yell. Did you ever hear a rebel yell? You know what the classical rebel yell that was used during the Civil War? Godwin goes on to say that's what the rebel yell was for. It was not to scare the enemy, which many people think it was used for. The rebel yell was to relieve the soldiers' feelings as they went into battle. They were tense and scared. And so when they would go running forward, this yell, you know what it sounded like? It was a wild, wailing sound. And even to this day, there's songs about that curious rebel yell. Did you know there's a whiskey named after it? You ever seen Rebel Yell whiskey? You won't, north of the Mason-Dixon line. But it's a classical whiskey. Well, so for some reason, the Spivey's Corner Hollering Contest sprouted associated costumes and competitions, such as the Possum Beauty Contest and so forth. But nevertheless, hollering is judged by how far you can hear them. And what they do is put judges. So a judge will be in the next county. If you can reach the next county from where you're hollering, you're already in competition class. And if you can be heard one county over, man, you're ready for the world title. You're working up there. And that's actually the way they do it. So you are given a specific time to holler, you see. So this is how they judge. And at 1:31, you're supposed to let out your holler. So at 1:31, the judge gives you the sign, and you take your holler. You move out to the center circle. This is the way it's actually done. And you tilt your head back, and you try to get the wind. That's another thing. The wind will carry the sound, you say. So if it's a cloudless day and there is no wind, you can aim your holler high. You got it? So it's not. Then you get trajectory. Now, if on the other hand you are facing into the wind, it is just like a golf shot. Keep your holler low. Aim it directly, almost on head to head. Aim it low. And now, if on the other hand you're say there's a quartering wind, and a guy wants to hear you way out there someplace, and that wind is coming in say at a 30 degree angle, play the angle. Aim your holler slightly to the right or to the left of him, because the wind will carry it that way. Did you know that wind carries sound the way it carries? Well, I mean, it actually curves sound. Because stop and think about it for a minute. Sound is the movement of molecules of air, one against the other. Well, of course, if there's a steady wind blowing, those molecules are moving. So as each molecule hits the next molecule, it winds up on a curve that coordinates itself with the wind. So the sound is carried just like a golf shot. Your voice will go, you know, curving off, and you get a slice on it. Well, the real hollerers have made a real study. They'll go on, they'll look at the wind, you know, and they'll put their finger up, and they'll wet their thumb to see which way the wind is coming, and they'll throw a blade of grass up there. Oh, these guys are really serious. And then at the point when they start to holler, they set their feet. You got to have a real solid basis on the ground. They set their feet, see. And the guy usually opens his shirt, that's very important, as you can see. He rips his shirt open, you know, and he usually throws his arms way back. And then he aims his holler at the direction he wants it to go into. You see, he's taking into account wind, trajectory, he's taking into account density, altitude, the whole bit, see. And way off in the distance, like 3 or 4 miles away across the county line, there are judges waiting. And they know that exactly 1:31, contestant number 428 is going to holler. Now, if they hear him, they immediately mark down heard. And there are judges that are in line. They go out there, see? And the furthest away judge that actually hears your call, of course, that's your shot. That's how far you went. That's your score. And so he plants his feet. And the crowd is waiting. It's thousands of people. And many of them have tape recorders, by the way, because it's just like people who show up to watch the Masters. They come with their cameras, and they want to take a picture of Jack Nicklaus and, you know, walking around. So they show up with their tape recorders because they want to record these great, fantastic, legendary hollerers. And they stand in the middle of the circle. The judge gets on the PA system. And now we are going to hear from Big Ed Hopnoodle. Comes to us from Rushville, Indiana. Ed was runner-up last year in the Indiana Hollering Contest with a score of 147 points and 3/4. Ed comes to us today from Rushville, Indiana, just after his great victory at the Indiana Lake County Fair, which he was acclaimed the chief and the best hollerer of the state of Indiana. Now here he is, the champion of Indiana, Big Ed Hopnoodle. And he walks out, and he looks in the crowd, cheers. They all know who he is, and he's big. And remember, the first year they had a crowd of 8,000, so you can imagine what it's like now in 72 when it gets on. You know, it's going to get on the wide, wide world of sport, and Howard Cosell will be in there in a whole bit pretty soon. By the way, he'd make a pretty good one himself. And so he's got all the natural attributes. And so when the hollerer waits, and he watches the clock, see, and then they start counting down. That's the one, you know, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and bap, he hits that thing, the red light goes on, he tilts his head back, and his neck starts to bulge out. His eyeballs pop, and fantastic yell. He's given 3 tries. He takes another deep breath. That's his number 2 effort. And now it's just like a miler. his last one, he throws everything. Because, you know, it's not going to be another contest in the next year. You go all out. You know, it's, either you take all the marbles or you don't in this business. And now he leans back, and oftentimes he'll take a swig of something that he carries with him. And I can assure you it ain't Fresca. He takes a swig of this stuff. He spits on the ground to get red. You hear whack, whack. The crowd is by now in a big uproar, see, because they don't know whether he's been heard out there in the next county. And then he leans back and he lets go his number one, his total final shot. And he collapses. They literally collapse right on the ground. Now, I'm not, it sounds like I'm exaggerating, but they don't. If you've ever tried to holler like that, full blast, man, you just blow your, you know, you blow your gizzard out your ears. Well, a real holler goes all out. You see these guys, they look like a toad that's been, you know, a stomped on toad frog, you know. His eyeballs are bugging. And it's amazing to watch one of these guys. They'll puff up. Now, that's another thing. You take an ordinary-looking guy. See, he walks out there, and he stands in a circle, and they start getting there. They start gulping in air. They go, they get this air, see, and they work it up. The guy will work it up almost like a runner. You've seen runners waiting for the gun. They'll move back and forth and trying to get a beat and a rhythm. Well, the guy will start gulping air. He goes, and he starts gulping. You can hear him in the crowd. It gets very exciting. And then he's waiting, and right at the point, and then he topples over backwards. Oh, now of course, now that's the pure power. They call it power yodeling. That's called power hollering. Now there is the musical department, and this is a completely different category of competition. Now what I was giving you there was the distance. Now these are the big timers. This is distant. They're aiming at distance, and that's the only criterion, is how far you can get that shot out. And when the results come back, it's fantastic. The people cheer. They carry the guy around. He gets the big silver cup, you know. And, he's a big, a genuine hero. Now, there is the musical division. Now, that's a very interesting division. It's totally aesthetics. And so he has to retain, of course, he's not singing because he has to retain the basic premise of yodeling, or hollering, rather, which is communication. Now, that means that he has to be heard over a long distance, but the standards are different. He's not going to be heard in the next county like the other guy. But he has to be able to get beauty of tone and quality and originality. And so they're judged on the musical. And the musical ones will sound something like this. Now that's a musical yodel, see. And that's, you see the difference. Then you'll find guys that'll go over almost the whole chromatic scale. They'll start out like this. Fantastic. And incidentally, the sound that you hear of the echo chamber here is authentic, too, because they use an echo. Now, they don't use a mechanical echo the way we have it here. What they use, of course, is the natural echo of the terrain. And all of these contests are held in an area where that is part of the natural terrain. And so for this reason, yodeling, of course, comes from the mountains of Switzerland and the Highland Yells is another thing. And they use the actual echo chamber. So if you think I'm faking it, you say, well, you know, the guy's got an echo chamber, and that's what it sounds like. You know, he's faking it. No, the echo chamber is an integral part of the technique of yodeling. There's another little story here. It says Bill Dennis, the hollering Hoosier from Westfield, Indiana. Listen to the story. How did he get into the racket? It says Bill Dennis, Hollerin' Hoosier, he's called, the Hollerin' Hoosier barber from Westfield, Indiana, told the Carolinians how he got into the racket. And here's how he started. So you see, almost all hollering has a basis in function. In other words, you have a message that you want to carry out, see? So here's the barber. He says, I ran a one-chair barber shop, Dennis said, with only enough room for four people to wait. He said, I took to stepping outside when the shop emptied and giving a holler like this. And he would holler. He says, that was the signal for anybody who needed a haircut to come running. He says that I was ready. I had a chair open. I was ready to take somebody on. He says, when the place was filled, I'd holler out another signal like this. You see, it was a descendo. It comes down the scale. And he says, that meant don't show up. I'm filled up. Forget it. He said, pretty soon I was known all over Hamilton County, Indiana, as Bill, the hollering barber. He said, well, people come from miles around. He said, I made so much money because people love to come to my barbershop and hear me holler that I built a nice new barbershop. And then I did, he said, the barbershop was so big I had to quit hollering. He said, I didn't need to do it anymore. He says, then a storm knocked out the fire siren one night in town. And he said, they came rushing to my house and they enlisted my help. We did not have a fire siren. He says, I'd step out of the shop whenever they called me on the phone, said there's a fire. See, they had a volunteer fire department. And he said, I'd step right out in the main street outside of my shop, and I'd do this. He says, it worked out real good till the town council got upset because so many people were calling in false alarms just to hear me holler. Oh, man. It says, but the crowd's true affection was reserved for the genuine old hollerers. Ezra Edwards, E.B. Maynard, Uncle Ben Lee of Dunn, Ford Lee of Newton Grove, J.R. Oliver of Garland, O.B. Jackson of Roseboro, 80-year-old Paul Parker of Clinton. And the eventual winner of this year's contest was Leonard Emanuel of Godwin, going on 68. Besides all the signal hollerers, the shy old-timers brought the Carolina crowd to its feet with hollering renditions of Speckled Bread, Mommy, Shortening Bread. You know, they even sing songs, and you know how they sing a song in it? It's just like, you ever heard those horns that play a tune? Like you hear a horn that goes boop, 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 boop. Well, hollering will sing a song. For example, a typical example, you take Shortening Bread. You've heard the tune, haven't you? Here's the way a hollerer would do it. That's Mammy Little Baby Love Shortening, Shortening. Mammy Little Baby Love Shortening Bread. Now this, to me, I read this thing, I thought, you know, this is kind of a an unsung sport, hollering and yodeling, and various types of sports like that that we very. Have you ever seen a tractor driving contest? Well, now, do you know that right now in this country there are guys who are readying their tractors for the great yearly tractor pulls? And they will spend as much time and often as much money on a great tractor as, say, somebody who's readying a car for the Indianapolis 500 will. Now, that's hard to believe. That means upwards of $50,000, $60,000, $70,000. And they'll strip the engine down and they'll work it all out. And a tractor pull is almost like a great horse pull. You know how horse pulling works. So, you know, the horse will pull a tremendous load over a short distance, and they will measure how long it takes them to pull it and how far he pulls it. Well, that's exactly the way a tractor works. And I was at one of the great tractor pulls one time in Iowa, and these fantastic tractors come out. Oh, they're magnificent. They're all in the colors, and all the farmers have got their own colors. You know, some guys have bright yellow with green vertical stripes, and that's his color. Yeah, you always recognize. He's even got his overalls in the same color, and his hat, and the whole bit. You know, someone will come out with blood red, with great blue wings painted on the side. They come roaring out, and he's fantastic tractors and this huge exhaust sticking out the top. And boy, when they go past, you can feel the ground shaking. And they'll hook them up to this load, and the guy will throw it in the gear. And you see this great load of concrete move slowly forward. Crowd roars. And then off around in the distance somewhere, you know, in the next arena, is a great hollerer at work. Oh, yeah. You just can't find any substitute for talent. Do you like that hollerer? And so it is. Friends, that's the way it was today in the world of sports. Tonight's salute to Ezra C. Sprunk, great hollerer, Rushville, Indiana, one of the great unsung champions of our time. This was a Rue Knowledge production. You got that right. Do you ever have the feeling that no matter how much you live, and no matter how much you see, that there is just no end to it? There's just no end to life, man. It just goes on and on. That's what makes it what it is. No way to be bored in this existence.